Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to City on a Hill. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and learn with us. We have some really amazing guests that God has allowed to be on the show, and today we're looking forward to hopefully having our friend from Italy, Luca Bocci, on with us. He's with Tea Party Italia, and I see him right now, so we're going to say hello to him.
Hi, hello, hello. Hi, sorry I'm late.
Hey. It's good
traffic,
to see you.
Traffic.
It's Barbara.
Yes, it's always delightful having Luca on with us. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And sorry
well,
about the flight delay because, traffic, you know.
Oh, well, hey, we're just glad you're on because we've always said that our greatest really organizer, coordinator, whatever, is God. And Luca, I mean, who would have thought? You know, we set this interview up with you quite a while back. We had no idea that Berlusconi was stepping down right now. And look who is on today's show. So this is a God thing. God wants you to be heard in America, too.
Well, yes, of course. I was not quite happy to our Lord's plans, but yes, it's not a coincidence, I think.
Well, it's a very important, really, Italy is very important in the scheme of things. You know, I hear him say, well, if Greece falls, that's bad, but if Italy falls, wow, watch out, world. And Luca, I guess before we get started, we'll set it off just like we always do, which is to give it to God in prayer. So if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Ms. Barbara to start us off. Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, and if you've got something to introduce us with Ms. Barbara, she's always good with introducing us with some history.
Well, I will introduce with a scripture today from Psalm 75, and it says in verses 6 and 7, "For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another." And I'll also remind everyone that the Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice and when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn and grieve. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are God, that you are the supreme judge of the world, that you do promote one and put down another. We thank you, Father, that you are in control. And your word also says that the king's heart is in your hand, and you turn it whichever way you desire to turn it. We know, Father, from reading your word, that you do bring judgment upon nations when they turn away from you, and to draw us back to you, Father, and to the right way, the way that will bring everything good and right. And, Father, you desire that for your people throughout the world, Father. You desire that all should come to know you and know your ways and know what's right and what is wrong and follow the right. And so, Father, we thank you that you are in charge and that we can safely trust in you. We thank you, Father, for the changes that are going on. We pray, Father, that those changes would be used for good and not for evil. We pray, Father, that people who love you and will do right will be placed in authority, that the people living in their realm, Father, will be blessed and will be helped. For that is your desire, Father, and that is our desire as well. We pray, Father, for your help, your support, your blessing, particularly as Italy goes through these changes, Father. And we pray now for our time on the radio that you would lead and guide us, Father, that we would, Father, be able to learn truth and to apply it rightly. And, Father, that our hearts would be open to learn from you, Lord, and to learn that which is right and true. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And I'm looking at the Bible, and I'm looking at the quote in Mark 12, chapter 12, about to love your neighbor as himself. And I know, Luca, y'all, there's so many people hurting in Italy, really the world over. And we've talked about the last time with Judge Romero about corruption. But I know it's a dream that someone would rise up in the ranks of Italy that would love his people more than himself. So we're hoping that will come with a leader someday. But if you don't mind, Luca, go ahead and tell us what you want us to know about Berlusconi and the stepping down and what's going to happen now.
Yeah, well, the situation is pretty confused right now because there are lots of wheels in motion. And right now it's really difficult to understand what is going on, because you know, the build up to this political crisis was essentially economic. So it was the lack of confidence of the market in the sovereign debt that pretty much drove up interest rates on Italy's T-bonds, and this was putting a lot of pressure on the government, because obviously Italy has got a massive public debt, which is 120% of the gross domestic product. And obviously you have to sell every 3-6 months a big chunk of this public debt. And obviously the investors, they were not confident in the ability of our country to repay the debt, which is pretty ludicrous, because the fundamentals have been exactly the same for the past 20 years. So what has changed? This is actually the question that most of us people in the Italian Tea Party movement, we are asking ourselves this question and saying, what happened in the last 2 months that has changed this dynamic? And so right now we have this massive crisis, and the result was that the democratically elected government of our country was forced to resign. And now you have people in charge that, well, they're not really in charge because they still have to get the vote of confidence in the parliament. But these people were not elected. They don't have a program. They don't have a platform to change the country, build the country, improve the country. So there is absolutely non-democratic government is going to happen. This is really worrying in a way, because we know some of the people that are going to be in the new government. And, you know, you can judge a person not by what he says, but what he did in the past. And these
That's
people,
right.
they are, these people, if you look at the fruits that these three have borne in the past, these are really bad fruits, because, and they are quite bad people, because they're, you know, they believe in the government, they believe in big government. Their only answer to this question, to this problem, is going to be tax, raise taxes. Get the money any way you can, and then, you know, they only interested in the bottom line. Yeah, the balance has to be right, and they still want to continue this thing. Even if Berlusconi, when he was called by the European Union, he had a letter of intent and saying, my government is going to do this, you know, these changes, these reforms, and these reforms, actually, we were really happy about those. Because actually they tackle some of the real problems in our country, such as like the lack of competition, the you know, the fact that there are special interests in all the places, the fact that the job market is too rigid, and there are people, they cannot get fired, and they cannot hire companies, cannot hire people because it's too complicated. So he wanted to just pass these reforms before, you know, saying, okay, you sustain our country because we are going to change things. We are going to put our house back in order, which was positive. But obviously the markets, they did not believe that. But it's not the market. It's somebody behind the market who is moving things so that actually the democratically elected government will have to step down. So everybody, well, all the left in Italy, they are crazy happy. They are celebrating in the streets. I'm sure you've seen the images on the television and stuff. And they are so happy. Yeah, the big bad wolf is away, so everything is going to be fine. Well, newsflash, guys, the spread between the Italian T-bonds and the German T-bonds right now, it's back to the normal levels. So the situation is still bad. Nothing has changed. The only thing that has changed is that the democratically elected government of this country, of Italy, it's not in place anymore. So the will of the people, again and again, is disregarded. They don't care about the people. They only care about taking the money from who is working and putting them into the pockets of God only knows who. So this is pretty much the situation we are facing right now. Everything is possible. God willing, we will have this kind, these changes that we want and that the country needs. God willing, but right now I'm really pessimistic. I'm thinking that the only thing that they're going to make is put back some new taxes, raise the property tax, and you know, and go into their bank accounts and take money, like they did back in 1992. They will go to every bank account. They don't care. They will get some money out of them. And they think, yes, we solved the problem. These are bureaucrats. These are unelected bureaucrats. This is part of the problem. They are part of the problem. They're not part of the solution, of course.
Well, okay. It sounds a little bit like, Ms. Barbara, what we're expecting come Thanksgiving. No changes, you know, out of that 12. It does not sound good for us either here, Luca. We're expecting changes, too, but the 12 can't decide, and I think even John Boehner is giving in already. But Luca, can you tell us, is it all right for you to mention who you think it is that is moving in the background? Do you know? Do you have an idea?
Well, I don't really like conspiracy theories. But actually, Mr. Mario Monti, the new prime minister, well, if he gets the confidence of the parliament, used to be in the board of Goldman Sachs. It's a coincidence. And other people who are going to be in the government, they are really, really well liked by the really big banks, the really big business, the one that it's too big to fail. So it's always the same. It's always the same circle of people that are going there because they profit too much from the huge debt because their banks, they make huge profits by trading this public debt. It's pretty much what is happening in America as well. The Federal Reserve prints a lot of money. It's in the form of T-bonds. But T-bonds, they are not sold by the government. They are not even sold by the Federal Reserve, which is a private institution. It's not publicly owned, and it's not controlled by anyone. But they are sold by these big banks. And so these big banks, when they are trading T-bonds, they make huge profit out of it. And they don't want to lose it. That's why they really hate the Tea Party. Everywhere around the world, they hate the Tea Party because our message is different. We want to say smaller government. We want to say less debt. We want to say no debt whatsoever. Why the government has to have a deficit? We have to have a surplus in order to pay back the debt. But when you say these things, these banking people, the big bank, not all the financial world is involved in this. I think it's just a small part of the financial world that is actually involved in this kind of shady deals and stuff. But if you talk to them about paying back the debt, they would look at you like you are a madman. And you say, no, the debt has to stay. It has to grow all the time because we make so much money out of it. They don't want that because it is true. One of the founding fathers, now I can't exactly remember who, was really against the idea of public debt. That's why America, up until the 1840s, used to have no public debt. And used to be in a surplus. And then, obviously, from 1839, things started to change, unfortunately. And that's when America veered away from the path that the founding fathers had shown in the Constitution, in saying no debts. Because if you have public debt, you are not a free country anymore. Because the holder of the public debt will just be in charge. This is exactly what is happening to Italy. Right now, it's not the people in charge. The people is not in charge anymore. It's someone else that is holding the public debt, and he says, I don't like Mr. Berlusconi. He has to go. Out. We want someone new. We want someone that we can trust that is going to get the money. But he's not going to get the money by saving government, by reducing public spending, or by firing a lot of unnecessary public workers. It's not going to do that. It's going to raise taxes because Italy as a country, as a government, has got a huge debt. But Italy as a country is extremely rich because Italian families, they've been saving a lot. So most of the 80% of the population has got his own house fully paid. So there is, credit card debt or personal debt. It's not an issue in Italy because, this is the fact. The families are rich. The people, the workers, the companies, they are actually rich. It's the government who is broke. And right now they just say, well, easy solution. We get the money from the families. And obviously that's why we are doubling our efforts to just spread the word to every person that we know and to get as many people coming to Milan the 26th of November for the big tax enough already, gathering and saying, no way, get your dirty hands away from our pockets. It's not the solution. But maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but we are really, really watching the situation closely because it's really, really disconcerting what is happening.
November 26th. Well, Ms. Barbara, I know you've got some things you'd like to probably make a comment on or ask Luca.
Well, sometimes it seems like it has to get so bad before people will take action. And, that's been the case in our country. It wasn't until 2008 with Obama elected to the presidency and people began to see very clearly his plan to destroy this country. That people began to rise up, and that it's unfortunate, but that seems to be human nature, that it's not until things get so bad are we willing to take action. But you talked about the government going into everyone's bank account as they did in 1992, and Americans probably don't realize it unless unless a particular American has had trouble with the IRS and owed some back taxes, would they have any knowledge that the government, our government, does the same thing? They go into the citizens' bank accounts and strip the bank account of any money that is owed the government, even though that's a violation of Amendment 4 to the Constitution, which states that the people shall be secure in their papers and in their property and so forth. So in our case, the government just disregards it completely, disregards the rule of law completely. I don't know how they are able to manage that in Italy, whether it's on the books that is against the law for the government to do so. How does it work there?
Well, actually, this was just done once in all the whole history of the country. So in the past 150 years, only happened once in 92 when there was this extreme crisis of the monetary system, and the lira, the old currency of Italy, was under attack by a group of speculators that was headed by Mr. George Soros, obviously, our beloved George Soros. And obviously, the country was in pretty much the same situation, crisis of confidence, the currency was going down, the interest rates on the public debt were going up, and Mr. Giuliano Amato, which actually will probably be part of this new government of Mr. Monti, was the prime minister, and he just said that instead, he just made a massive tax increase, something like, at least 50 billion euros, let's say $80 billion in tax raises. And part of this was just going into bank accounts and taking the five per thousand. So 5,000 of what was there, it just took it. And actually, nobody really went into the legal part. So they don't even know if it's possible or not. Because this is the problem. Italy has got so many laws, something like 100,000 laws. And so it's pretty much possible that this is legal. But we don't have any constitutional amendment that protects us from the government. Because, unfortunately, Italy went through the fascist regime, and the fascist regime changed a lot of the fundamental laws. And we still have to get rid of all of those. So I'm pretty sure that if they want, they could pretty much wipe out your bank account and say, yes, I'm fine, I'm the government, I can do whatever I want. And people will just moan, they will complain, but they will not really just go there and say, no, you cannot do it. Because this is the problem. Italy is still, like most of continental Europe, when times are good, it looks like a democracy. So it is a democracy in a way. But when the going gets tough, the governments, they have reserved for themselves the power to do pretty much whatever they want. And if they wanted, right now, they could confiscate the whole economy. They could turn us into socialist countries in 3 seconds, just like saying, oh, this is an emergency. I have to confiscate everything. So everything is mine. You don't have anything. Because according to the Italian Constitution, private property is allowed by the state, so long that it doesn't go against the public good. So this is actually the loophole that they have reserved for themselves. If they wanted, if they wanted, they could do whatever they want. And this is really bad. And unfortunately, for the last 50 years, when the going was not so bad, people were not wise enough to just say, why the hell do we have this thing in our constitution? Can we not remove that? Because they say, the government will do nothing of the sort. This is something. I was talking with some friends of mine, and we were saying that right now, most of the people in the continental Europe, they have, there is something that is really hard to explain. So if you go to every single person and you ask them, do you trust politicians? I think 90% they will say, no, I don't trust politicians. They're all crooks. They're all corrupt. They are good for nothing. I don't care about them. But then you say, but do you trust the state? Do you trust the government? And they say, of course I trust the government. The government is good. And to me, it looks like You know, one of the people that are into this crazy cult and they start believing really stupid things, you can see that this is part of a brainwash. And we have been brainwashed for the last 90 years into thinking that every single time the government does something, it's good. And this is why people, they don't seem to be able to make one plus one. Because, you see, fundamentally they think people are bad. People are bad, so they need to be limited. By who? By the government. But the government is made of people who are bad. So
right.
It's a circle. It's a vicious circle.
That's right. And then the government being made of people who are bad have all this unlimited power, and that compounds it all. But, you know, Luca, I was going to tell you that for the past century, the United States teaching in their public schools, and over 86% of Americans are educated in public schools. So that's the vast majority of Americans that have been indoctrinated into the idea that the government, whatever is for the public good, that has been a real teaching that has just been continuous over the years. So there's been a total indoctrination away from the Constitution protecting an individual's God-given rights to the idea that the government is going to be acting on behalf of the public good, and therefore everyone needs to support that. And you vote for candidates that will support the public good, and you vote for policies that will support the public good, and individuals' rights have to be set aside. And that teaching has gone on not only in the schools, but from the bully pulpit from the presidency when Bill Clinton was president. He talked about that a lot. Hillary Clinton talked about that a lot. And, of course, it's going on nonstop now today. So, you know, we're in the same place, and I have a feeling that that's probably going on all over the world.
Yes, unfortunate. That is quite unfortunate, but I'm afraid you're right. I think that this has been something that has been put in motion many years ago. I think probably in the late 1890s or something like that. So it's more than a century that actually you have these wheels in motion that are constantly pointing towards an objective, which is world government, which is world currency, which is a world Federal Reserve, and so on. And obviously you don't have democracy and individual rights. They are something, you know, they're a nuisance to these people because they think
That's
they
right.
are so smart.
That's right.
They are so smart. They should run everything. Who cares about elections? People are stupid. They don't know what is good for them. I do. And obviously when from theory you go into practice, you see that actually what they believe is the public good is actually very good for themselves and for their friends, and not so good for the rest of the people, but they don't care. It's something that sometimes makes me really, really go mad, because I seem to think, no, I don't want to believe this conspiracy, but every single thing I see around me points me towards the answer. And so when you say to people, guys, this has been going on for more than a century, and people talk back to you and they say, wow, are you one of those cuckoos guys that they just go with conspiracies and they say that they are, you know, that the Queen of England is actually an alien and stuff like that. There are people like that. They go with wild assumptions and they put all together and they say, no, nothing of the sort. But I am thinking that right now there are so many facts that actually it's quite difficult to disprove them. So we have to be rational for once and say, you know, there is a direction where the world is going, and it's been going on for a century. And this direction goes from freedom towards enslavement in a way or another. So they want to take away our freedom. They want to take away our economic freedom. They want to take away our property. because they there are some people who will think they will profit much more if they would be in charge and if nobody else was able to just attack their position. Well, consider that. It is pretty rational for them because they are people of great wealth and they are people of great power. And right now, they would they're afraid that the next Bill Gates will come up or the next Steve Jobs will come up and take away their power because these people, they think that their wealth and their power, they're not given by God. Or they didn't earn them. They inherited it. They inherited from their parents, from their grandparents, and so on. And they say, no, I don't want competition. I don't want free markets. I want to be the ruler of the world. I want to be in charge. And I don't want to just go there and provide service to these pesky customers. These pesky customers that when they have a better choice, they will go and buy things made in China. If I were in charge, they will buy my stuff. And so that's pretty rational from their point of view. I don't really understand how there can be people that really, you know, support this vision if they are not in charge. Because this is something that I really, really cannot understand. If you are one of the very, very, very few people that has a lot of wealth and a lot of power, of course it's in your personal interest to do that. But if you are one of the rest of us who has to work for a living, why the hell would you subscribe to that? Because you think you can gain something? Because you want to live with the money that is taken away from people that are working? You want to be part of the privileged. You want to be part of the elite. But that's pointless because the elite, by definition, it's very limited. Not everyone, not all the stupid idiots that are occupying whatever will get into the elite. They think they will, but they will not. They will be just like the rest of us, stripped away of their property, of their rights, of their freedom, and they will be part of the machine. They will not be part of the elite. But it's really, 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 really unbelievable how these people, they can still believe that they will be part of the very few who will control the world if they have their way, obviously.
Well, look,
Haven't read history.
Yeah. Well, we just had a fight last week, Luca. Really, it's a right, a very basic right. Of parents over their children's education. And in the local newspaper where Miss Barbara lives, it couldn't even garner front page. It was in the fourth page, page four.
Oh,
you know, it's like media is one of those tools of those elitists to brainwash. And it's just so blatant when you see that, okay, you're supposed to be able to make comments on whatever their ideas are. But since they own the paper, why not just do away with, you know, any controversy and let's just show the good, you know. So forget about the other side. And they do such a good job of brainwashing the masses that it's really, I think that is the biggest weapon that they have in this country is the media and the tool that it is to brainwash the masses. And it's really very, very hard to fight. And I thank God for the tea parties. And of course, the blogs and all that. But anyway, go ahead, Luca.
No. It's just the thing that I was thinking about. It's just that actually media indoctrination happens only if people buy the newspaper or if people tune into the TV channel. But actually, this gives, grassroots activists a chance to just go and attack them, because most of the newspapers and most of the media, they are corporations, they are for profit, they rely on advertising, and that's why I believe, and I've been preaching that in Europe for the past 20 years, that actually this is the weak point of the system, because if you own a newspaper, this newspaper is not being printed on government money or whatever. It's being printed by a company, and this company wants to make profit. And that's why they go with the mainstream view, because they think that they will get money from advertisers that are part of the special interest. But obviously, if you have a grassroots group, and you can organize, and you can say, no, I don't like the fact that you put the news into fourth page. No, no, I don't really like that. So if you don't stop doing this, I will boycott every single company that puts an advertisement in your newspaper. And this is actually something that has been working for the past 50 years. It's been working like crazy, especially in America. That's why I have been watching it very, very carefully, because this is a very powerful tool in the hands of every grassroots individual. So if you see an editorial that is blatantly pro-government, pro-Obama, this and that, well, you have a way of just making people know that you're not really happy with that. You can stop buying whatever company puts an advertising in the newspaper, or same thing for the TV station, and so on. I'm thinking that right now the social conservatives groups, they've been very, very good at doing that, especially for some scripted shows like TV series and so on. And if you offend us, we will boycott everything, and so the advertiser goes in a panic and decides, no, you have to change everything. But this is actually a blueprint for success. This is really, really important. This is probably the weak link in the chain of enslavement, because you have a way, because they haven't taken away your money yet. The money is still yours, and you're the one choosing, because we, as consumers, we have the ultimate power. We can decide who to support and who not to support. This is really important. And, you know, but it takes organizing. It takes a lot of people that are constantly engaged in the political process, and they are not afraid of confrontation, because obviously the left, they will attack you personally. They will try to beat you. They will, I don't know, I hope not, but sometimes in the past it has happened in Europe, they will even kill you. They will assassinate you if you are really against them. But so they're not afraid of using violence at all. But it's much more easy for them to just go there and say, from the last 2 years, I was really afraid of something. I was afraid that some figure in the Tea Party movement in America would probably be attacked physically or even assassinated. I was really afraid of that, because I was thinking, this is their way of thinking. If someone becomes so powerful, they will try and get rid of him. First, from an economic point of view, then from a legal point of view. If they don't manage to get rid of him, they will eliminate him physically. That's why I was afraid for Glenn Beck. I was afraid for Rush Limbaugh. I was afraid for the really powerful figure in the right-wing media. But then I thought again and say, no, they don't think that we are not at that point yet. Because they will make a market out of it.
The conservatives, many of them that are influential, have to have security because their lives are threatened. So that is going on here. And then in every city, town, village probably, throughout the country, there are threats. Anytime there's an exposure of corruption, there are threats of violence and threats. There are. That goes on all the time, even in small communities here. It really does. It's not generally known, and it's not in the newspapers or on the TV broadcast. But it does go on.
But I think one of the things that helps the Tea Party is because, you know, they've got their own group, small groups, you know, in small towns, and they don't really have one figurehead. And like you say, Ms. Barbara, Rush and all them have their protection. But most of the Tea Party groups, you know, they're very small. There's not like one head that they can swipe at and think this will stop. You know, if they dare to do that, it can't stop because there's too many of them, I think. You know, and maybe that's the good thing about it. But I like what you're saying about boycotting, Ms. Barbara.
I think that'd be a good idea for the local
That's
paper.
Right. That's right. We go way back with our boycotting back to 1765 and the Stamp Act. And
wow.
That was a beautiful example of boycotting. We had a Stamp Act Congress, and the American people determined that they would not buy their goods from England. And they didn't. They made homespun clothing and refused to wear black because all the black fabric came from England and so forth. And they were able to make changes that way. And we have a history of that, but I think we've forgotten the power of the people at this point.
Well, I thank Luca for reminding us of that, because Ms. Barbara, that is powerful. When you're talking about parents and children, you can't get any more basic than that, because when we're dying, that's really basically what we care for is, you know, our children. But so that's a great idea, Luca, and you've inspired us. So I think Ms. Barbara and me is going to work on that. But I also think that you have inspired somebody else, and I'll go ahead and mention this, Luca. I don't know if you've heard, but, you know, on the last interview you did with us, Judge Moore was on with you. And,
yep,
Luca,
I don't know if you were
I don't know if you were the one that inspired it, but, Ms. Barbara, I can't help but think that, yeah, Luca had something to do with Judge Roy Moore wanting to go back out and try again, defend the Constitution.
When he said that it is our Constitution that stands between the world government people, you know, it's our Constitution, I think that really sparked something in Judge Moore that brought about this, helped to bring about this decision. I really think so too, because it seemed to just really resonate with him. Anyway, he is
yep.
considering running for Alabama Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court.
Well, I pray that this is actually what is going to happen, and that the good people of Alabama will just give their faith in Judge Moore, because it's actually, you know, it's a champion of freedom, it's a champion of religious freedom, a champion of constitutional, you know, adherence and stuff. As a strict, you know, constitutionalist, actually, this would be great news for freedom all over the world, really, because the front line is, you know, this is a strange war, because the war on freedom right now, it has many front lines. And so it's difficult to just say that one is more important than the other. But right now we have so many battlefields all over the world, and you have them in Egypt, you have them in you know, in Tunisia, you have them in India, in China, you have them in Russia, in America, you have them in Italy, in England, everywhere. It's all the same battle, and this is something that most people have a big problem understanding. So they think, why should I care about what is going on in Italy? I mean, I'm in America, I don't care anything about Italy. You say, yeah, the world is much smaller than most people think. And so it's really connected. Things can happen from one place to the other. So the fact that Judge Moore decides to run for Chief Justice in Alabama is something that makes me personally happy, because I know that having the right person in the right place will be, you know, a roadblock on the path to enslavement. And so this is great news. And this, I think that it's the same thing should work both ways. That's why when I heard that there were some people in Japan that were electing, you know, the Tea Party Tokyo, they were electing the right people, you know, people with conservative values and conservative vision for the future to their local government, I was really happy about that. And this is something that all right-thinking people around the world should consider a bit more. It's not just your fight. Your fight is really important, because it's your fight. You are on the front line. You are the one that can make the change in your community. But try and also keep an eye on what is going on around the world, because there are lots of other people fighting, and their success is also beneficial to your own success. this is something that actually would be very important to do.
Well, no man's an island, and I can't help but think that somewhere the Obama administration, Obama, is affecting what is going on right now, even in Italy. And, of course, George Soros has had his hand in the past, and we can't help but know that it's still there. He's not left them alone. And but, you know, you just look at the headlines, and it says here, you know, EU crisis, Europe faces darkest hour since World War II, says Merkel, German chancellor. If the euro fails, then Europe will fall. And, you know, if Italy fails, then, yes, the euro will fall. And I just can envision a one, you know. Go ahead, Luca.
No, this is actually something that is very interesting. I just read about it today, that sometimes what Chancellor Merkel says is not exactly what they're planning. Because yesterday, I think, there was a meeting of the CDU, the Christian Democrat Party in Germany, and they passed a resolution in the party committee to just say that Chancellor Merkel should try and push for the a change in the European law so that actually some countries can be allowed to go out of the euro. And some people, some friends of mine, they were saying, oh, yeah, they want to kick Italy and Greece and Spain out. No, I think it's the other way around. Germany wants out. If Germany wants out because they don't want to sustain the euro, this would be a collapse of unimaginable proportions. Because Germany right now, they decided, yeah, okay, we gained what we could from this European Union, European construction. But right now, Germany is so powerful in European terms that actually they don't need the European Union anymore. So they could decide, yes, we are out of the euro. Good riddance. Bye. We're out. It's possible. And this could be probably the end of the European Union, which actually is something that would make me pretty happy, because it's the whole concept of super state, of bureaucratic control over the democratically elected government, is something that is quite sickening, at least to me personally. So if the European Union goes down, well, good riddance. Obviously, some of my friends, personal friends of mine, who are working for the European Union, they would not be very happy about that, but you know, every war has got casualties, so sorry, guys. But if on one side you have some friends and on the other side you have your country, it's really easy to decide. For some people, it's not so easy because, you know, when they just... I was just thinking about that. There were people in the last few days that have been doing everything they could to bring down Mr. Berlusconi. Because Mr. Berlusconi, with all his faults, is no perfect person. By all means, his moral clarity was really shrouded in the last few years and so on, and he did not deliver what he promised to the Italian people, which was more freedom, less taxes, and less government. It's because this was his platform. From day one, from 1993, he promised to just give us what the Tea Party wants. That's why we supported that. I personally supported it. I was a member of his party for 10 years. I was into local politics. I helped some senators. I worked with them in order to promote what I thought was his plan, to just go there and have less government, less taxes, and more freedom for the people. He didn't deliver because he was attacked ferociously for the past 15 years. They went all out against him. They resorted to everything. Most of the stuff that he did was probably true, but some of them, they were lies. And so right now, I think that in the last few days, there were people that were working overtime to bring down the government by making the situation of the whole country worse. And so they were actively working against their own people. And I think that there is a word for that. These are traitors. And they, I don't know, back in the days, they would be fired. They would be shot. Probably there would be firing squads shot in the back to have him betray their own country. And there are lots of people like that. But in all countries, you can see them in America as well. You can see there are lots of people who are actively working overtime to destroy the country and to bring it down. I don't know if you've heard, but actually there was a video that was going around of Francis Piven, the author, co-author of the Cloward Piven book, famous book on that. She is still teaching right now. And actually there was this video, it was really sickening. It's going, yesterday probably, was going around. And she was literally advocating open violence against the government and against the people, because we have to have revolution. It looked to me like saying, where does she think she's living? This is not the 60s, where the Soviet Union is gone. There is no communism anymore. But she is still teaching these things. And this was NYU. It was New York University. There were kids, there were the parents had paid something like $40,000 a year to send their kids to this supposedly prestigious university, and they fall in the hands of these bad teachers. Actually, in Italian, there is a definition for them. It's really the bad teacher, because back in the 70s, when there was the terrorist movement, there were lots of people who got killed in the street because there were these extreme left terrorists that they were shooting people, not randomly. You know, they were targeted. People that were, you know, important, that they had position of responsibility. They wanted to bring down the government. And actually, they were, when they were, because Italy was able to defeat the Red Brigades and the terrorists, and they were obviously put into jail, and when they were in trial, there were some people who were saying, but look at these kids. These kids, they had no idea what they were doing, blah, 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 this and that. But actually, we were thinking about their teachers, because they had been to university, and they had teachers who were promoting world revolution, they were promoting communism every step of the way. And this is why we have a definition now, it's cattivi maestri, so the bad teacher. And this is actually something that we can see all over the world. And I was so enraged, because first I thought that she had gone to meet her maker, which probably is Lucifer, by the way, but okay. But no, yeah, she's gone to meet her boss, not the maker. Sorry about that. So,
yeah. You know, not but, only.
No, she's still alive, unfortunately, and she's still making damage, and this is unbelievable.
Yeah, not only were we forging the chains that enslave us with this doctrine, but we were actually paying for it with our hard-earned money, our dollars going into public education and higher education, you know, so, and doing it just mindlessly, paying for all this indoctrination of our youth. And, for revolution. Yeah,
and I remember, Luca, looking at one of the, well, really, he was a spokesperson for Occupy Wall Street, and that was one of the things that you could just look up in his blog. That's what he's calling for, is a revolution. And so a lot of these Occupy Wall Street, you know, are going on a dangerous path. But again, it's like, you know, we hear with computers, garbage in, garbage out, and what do we expect, Ms. Barbara, when we have teachers like that? What a difference you make to your students, and what a difference the others do to theirs. And I really, that's why the fight for the minds of the children is so important. And thank you for that boycott idea, Luca. We're going to have to do that, because we have got to take that fight, because we know what Ms. Barbara has always taught us about the words of Abe Lincoln, you know, the philosophy taught in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that with this Occupy Wall Street crowd. And I'm sure it's not just here in the States, as you say, it's all over in Europe, too. So can you believe the time has flown, Ms. Barbara?
I looked over there and it was almost to the close of our show today. And it's been so good. It's always so good having Luca speak to us. And Diana, I know you want to have some closing comments and close us in prayer as well.
Well, I do, Ms. Barbara, and I thank God that Luca mentioned those in Japan that is also working hard, and I know he's mentioned in the Australians and other nations, and we thank God for the movement for truth, Ms. Barbara, to set their people free. and it's alive and it's going to get stronger. And Luca, tell us again about that event, November 26th, and how for people that have Italian heritage, my goodness, they need to be going to your website and promoting that event.
Yeah, okay. This is probably the first national event that we have organized. And we are working overtime to promote it as much as we can. So there are buses that have been organized from all over the country. They are going to go to Piazza San Babila, which is actually in the smack center of Milan. And we are going to have this event where obviously you have speakers, you have people that were talking. Unfortunately, we're still having some problems with the authorizations and stuff because obviously the left-wing government of Milan doesn't really like the fact that we are going there to just say taxed enough already, because this is really the revolutionary message, is that one. We have paid enough. Get your hands out of our pockets. And so right now, there is lots of people organizing. If you have a Facebook account, you go to Facebook and you just search for Tea Party Italia, and you will go to our group, and there is also the Facebook page. Most of the organization is going on over there. Unfortunately, most of it is in Italian, so we are still working on an English language version and so on. But this is really important. If you have anyone in your family that is still in Italy, tell him to go there, to go to the Facebook page, to the Facebook group, and ask to get in, because actually there are lots of really, really interesting people going around. If you are from some region, try and look for your regional web page, because there are the movement is growing a lot. And if you don't have a Facebook account, go to teapartyitalia.it, and you can find all the information and stuff. It's really important for us to be there, because obviously this is something that is really important. We have to show that there are people who still believe that actually limited government and personal responsibility and personal freedom is the only way to get out of this crisis. So if you can, try and help us spread the word around. We need to be a legion over there. It needs to be massive, because we need to just go on every mainstream media and spread the word around. So I will thank you, every one of you, and thank you, obviously, Diana and Miss Barbara, for this opportunity.
Well, Luca, we have to have you on every month, or as much as your schedule can permit. And thanks to David Mazzarella, too. And I think David has sent me an email link, and I got on there, and I think I got onto a Google Translator. You all have a new site, and it was great. And I seem to remember clicking on something. You know, you've got those Facebook and email, you know, all that running together.
Yeah, yeah,
and
all the information,
I was able to get onto a Google Translator.
Italian, yeah. Yep.
Well,
I
it
think
let
so.
Me
I
translate
think,
it into English. I think I linked on something that was like a translator to English. I don't know if I could do it again.
but
it was pretty neat. and it's one of those, you know.
We're still working on a completely English page, but obviously it's you know, it's a work in progress. As soon as we'll let you know, definitely.
Sorry, Luke. Well, thank you, Luca. Well, let me go ahead and pray for what's going to be happening, and just give it to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are almighty. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are such a good God. And Lord, you said for us to worship you not just in spirit, Lord, but in truth. And that's what Luca and the rest see, to worship you completely, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this endeavor, November 26th. Lord, please put a hedge of protection around each one of them, Lord, that's going there to promote what's right and good. Please protect them from the evil ones, Lord, Heavenly Father. And let it resonate as a wonderful, awesome, fantastic event for truth, Lord, for freedom, Heavenly Father. Let it ring throughout Italy, throughout Europe, and the world, Lord, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that you said for us, come boldly to the throne of grace. And you said nothing is hard for you, Lord. And we thank you that you said for us to love one another. And, Lord, that I know that at the heart of this, Lord, they care about others. So we pray to bless them. In Jesus' name we ask this, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Diana. Well, we
thank you, Ms. Barbara. Thank you, Luca.
Yes, 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 yes. What a great show this has been. I tell you what, we always learn so much when Luca is on. And so, listeners, we thank you for joining us today on City on a Hill Radio Show. We ask that you would share this podcast with your friends and family wherever they live throughout the world. And there are recent podcasts on cityonahill.tv. as well, for you to become informed and enlightened and inspired. So do share them, please. And listeners, we thank you for joining us today. We ask the Lord to bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Bye-bye.